For scripture reading this morning, we turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. With such scriptures as that, in our soul, we consider the instruction of Lord's Day 50 in the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps when we arrive now at this fourth petition, you breathe somewhat a sigh of relief and say to yourself quietly, at last now we arrive at a petition that is easy to make, or at last, finally, we get down to the business of which I have primary interest. To do that would be foolish and sinful. This petition, truth be told, is not at all easier to make than the previous one, or the previous three, All must be made by faith, confident faith, trusting faith. It is no easier to pray for our daily bread than it is to pray that God's will may be done, which we saw last week is impossible apart from faith. So also it takes faith to pray for daily bread. These petitions also are not the first ones, as was pointed out, that pertain to us. This petition for daily bread is obviously a need. But we saw that the other three things with regard to God were also our need. And we may not disconnect this petition either from God. We're going to see the Heidelberg Catechism makes clear, very clear, that one who prays for daily bread without any concern about God and about God's will prays sinfully, prays in error. When we pray our daily bread, we do so according to how God would have us pray. We may not now say, since I'm praying about myself and my earthly concerns, I may pray for whatever I want. No, God's will comes into play. Both the will of God's counsel, His plan for our life, regarding our station and calling, as well as His will of command. When God says, this is what you pray for with regard to your body, He excludes other prayers that we are prone to make. And perhaps we also say to ourselves, well now, this request for earthly physical things is something I understand, and therefore it has nothing to do with the spiritual side of things, we would also be mistaken. We're going to see very clearly that even though this crust for daily bread pertains to the physical, pertains to the things of the body, nevertheless is answered spiritually, is made spiritually, is answered spiritually, and pertains to spiritual. We cannot divide these two realms. Simply think of the song we just sang, where the water from the rock and the heavenly manna were obvious signs and pictures of Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, they were very physical realities, supplying daily needs through which the Lord taught them things pertaining to the higher spiritual reality. And we're going to see that too in this Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day. Consider with me this fourth petition, the petition for our daily bread, and following somewhat the theme we've been following in this Lord's Prayer, the request, the answer, and then lastly, the blessing. The Heidelberg Catechism here says the bread for which we petition God is a request that God supply all things necessary for the body. In other words, it's a request, God give us all things necessary to sustain our physical life. The same thing the Lord Jesus taught when He spoke of eating and drinking and that with which we are clothed. This Heidelberg Catechism explanation shows that we are not to spiritualize the request itself. The spiritual is bound together with this request, but we may not say to ourselves when we make the request, well, now I'm praying for the heavenly bread. I'm praying with regard to the Lord's supplying all of my needs through Jesus Christ, whose broken body was shed on the cross. No, this is a petition for real bread, for things pertaining to the body. Catechism makes clear it pertains to things creaturely on this earth. And we may add that under that single word bread, the Heidelberg Catechism assumes and our Lord teaches everything necessary to sustain earthly, physical life in the body. Not only food, but also drink. It pertains to shelter. It pertains to clothing, transportation, whatever we need to, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, carry out our duties, to do the things that we are called to do with the life that God has given us. Here it's worth pointing out that even this request has an underlying assumption, which is the child of God, when he makes this request for daily bread, does so with the understanding that God sustained my life as long as it is God's will to sustain my life. See the connection with the previous Lord's Day? You cannot separate these petitions. So even when one makes this petition, the child of God does so with the understanding that it may be God's will that I not have my life sustained this day. I do not know when my life will end. And there is, therefore, that understanding where the apostle teaches the same thing when he tells us that we ought to always have the understanding when we speak of the future that it's according to God's will. We need not add that every time we use the future tense, but faith has that understanding always that with regard to the future, with regard even to this prayer for daily bread, it is subservient to God's will with regard to my earthly life and how long it will be sustained. We're praying that as long as it's God's will to sustain my life, that God will provide all things necessary for that life. The emphasis on the petition is that God provide the daily necessities of that life. Give us this day our daily bread. Understand there's two thoughts there. The Lord is not repeating himself when he says this day and then speaks about daily bread. There's a couple of thoughts there in the Lord expressing it that way. Number one, he's making clear that this is a petition that we ought to make daily. Provide me this day, even as I pray this day for daily bread. This is a request, therefore, that a child of God does not make once a year or once a week, but always he stands before the Lord, at least daily, praying for these necessities of that day. And the idea of daily bread is that God provide me with what is necessary to sustain my earthly physical life this day. I pray this day for the food of this day. Now, what we have to understand, therefore, and you would need to combine this now with the concept of bread, the Lord does not say that we are to pray now daily for our daily steak and wine or for a 4,000 square foot house or for designer clothing and a new car. When the Lord teaches us to pray for daily bread, he's saying, first of all, with regard to those necessities of life, we are to pray for the basic necessities of life. Let me put it bluntly. If we pray for things other than what is assumed under daily bread, that is, basic necessities, we sin. You pray for transportation, basic transportation, that which is suitable in our age. A car, not a brand of car, not a new car. We pray for bread, not anything more than that. Water, not anything more than that. Clothing, not anything more than that which covers the body. See why it takes faith? We want more. God says we may not ask for more. Give us this day our daily bread. And the idea is to be happy with that, to be content with that. Don't return back to God when He supplies daily bread and say, "Is this it? Is this all I get on my table? A loaf of bread? A glass of water? I want more." Of course, we don't have the boldness to actually make that a prayer, do we? I doubt any one of us is ever going to get on our knees and stand before God and say, "Is this it? I want more. I need more." But we think it, and thus we're saying it before God. He hears. He knows. Now, it doesn't mean that if my pantry's full and my garage is stuffed with cars and my house is bigger than usual, that I sin either. But understand this, that if the Lord takes it away, we say with Job, "The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's why you will find in Scriptures prayer, not only with regard to poverty, but riches. If we're honest with ourselves, how often is it that we find that we are in despair and we are in trouble and we are in sorrow? Not over sin, not over our poor spiritual condition, the fact that spiritually we are famished due to our own fault, but because we don't have the things in this life that we think we ought to have, or that our neighbor has, or that we want. And notice too, with regard to this, that request daily for our daily bread, the Lord is teaching us to pray for the measure that's appropriate for me individually, in my particular calling, in my particular station in life, the bread that I need according to the responsibilities that I have been given by God. And that's not the same for all men, women, and children in the church. Understand that. We must recognize that God distributes earthly gifts in His providence according to His sovereign will, even as He distributes spiritual gifts according to His sovereign will. God, according to His sovereign will, not only withholds salvation from men, but with regard to those that He grants salvation, He distributes His grace in various measures. And He determines that. There's a picture of that in earthly life. God does withhold food from some individuals so that they starve to death. With regard to us, God does not provide us all with the same amount of bread, the same amount of earthly physical things. There's a difference between a Christian man who's an employer and the Christian man who's an employee. There's a difference between the Christian woman who has 10 children and the one who has 2. All kinds of differences, and the Lord knows what they are and often provides. Might add here too, the Lord knows our spiritual weaknesses. Some of us are more prone to the idolatry of money and physical goods than others. We're all prone to it, but some more than others. And underlying it, and even the prayer, is that the Lord, who knows these things, wisely distribute, even to me. The child of God has an understanding that certain things, certain goods are not good for him. That if I had them, I would worship them, I would serve them, I would follow after them and forget my God. And has no problem praying if that's the case. Lord, take them away. Take them away from me. There's another point that could be made with regard to this request, want to point out, even though it's not explicit in the petition, and I would be careful to press it too far, and that's the distinction between the soul and the body. The Catechism obviously is applying the request for daily bread to the body, make no mistake. And nevertheless, this is a request as regards the soul too. And the catechism, if you go back to Lord's Day 9 with regard to creation and providence, and if you go back in the Heidelberg Catechism with regard to what we are to pray for example, question and answer 118, it talks about the fact that in prayer we request things necessary for soul and for body. And the idea of the catechism clearly is, with this request, we request things for the body, and what follows pertains to the soul. That's the essential main division that's being brought up here. Nevertheless, we may not press that too far, because as we're already seeing, this request for the physical, the things for the body, obviously pertains to the soul, pertains to faith, pertains to how we request, and with what attitude request. But I want to point out another thing that we ought to understand, and that is, when we make this request, we're not requesting things strictly for the body either. We ought to understand that there's a physical, earthly component of our soul. It too is of the earth, earthy, which is exactly why, when we make this request, the Heidelberg Catechism appeals to faith. Now the part of the soul that's been regenerated as the Spirit resides there. But one should understand that when we make this request for the daily necessities of the body, there's other things included, things that pertain to the earthly physical soul. For example, for the education of the soul, for the peace and harmony and unity that is necessary for the soul. What I'm getting at is this. You will find sometime even Christian parents who God uses to provide all things necessary for the body, as it were. They are diligent in working as the means to provide for their family. They provide in great abundance, actually, for their family. But all is for naught, because there's no peace in the home. There's fighting, and there's bickering, and there's trouble. Very little concern about the education of those children. Sort of a, well, they'll fend for themselves type attitude. And I believe that when we pray for the things pertaining to daily bread, that a child of God has in his consciousness an understanding that even with regard to how one thinks and one understands things, that there's things God provides in that regard. For example, earthly peace. There is included in this request such things as the apostle tells us to pray for with regard to the state and to the government, that we may have peace if it be God's will, so that in that peaceful reign of even an earthly wicked government, the church can go about its business, and a mother and a father in the church can raise their family in a stable home. They can go out and work and rear generations, things that are very, very difficult under even persecution and trouble. Again, God's will govern and controlling all these things, but we ought to have an understanding of that. Now, some of this we're going to get into in just a bit, that distinction between earthly physical things and God's blessing. But we ought to understand that we being who we are, creatures created body and soul, and they both being physical, that we have a concern for the environment and for the provision of the soul. God even teaches us His Word through reading, writing, and arithmetic, and through understanding language and grammar and all these things. I believe it's assumed under this petition. Now, put these things together. And the point is that this prayer is no easier to make than the petition for God's name and God's kingdom and God's will. We're up against, beloved, the wicked world in which we live, a wicked world that is in the grip of an anti-Christian spirit of materialism and a false church that preaches the gospel of materialism, even as blessing. We are surrounded on every side with the message that material goods will make you happy. And the enemy attacks when we are denied such things in God's good providence, that we should be angry, we should be bitter. We even have the right to be that way before God. Many a so-called Christian pulpit, the message of the prosperity gospel has millions of adherents. And there's no excuse, because the preacher himself shows that he's made material goods his idol. Where can you go to avoid the advertising and the message? Buy, buy, buy. Obtain, obtain, obtain. Have, and then you'll be happy, happy, happy. And there's none of it true. But it's appealing. Why? Again, because we are earthly physical creatures, body and soul. Don't underestimate the power of temptation found in simply earthly bread and physical things. There's a reason why Satan attacked at that very point with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. Waited until being deprived of bread and drink for 40 days, tempts with his own ability, his own power to turn stones into bread. But in doing so, he would have done against the will of God his Father and shown he was unworthy to be the Christ. Satan tempts us relentlessly with regard to bread, daily bread, weekly bread, money and everything else. And we have a way of using Christian liberty to indulge in these things, fooling ourselves that we have not turned them into idols. Besides that, the catechism, even in this prayer, teaches us we may not be selfish even when we're requesting bread for ourselves. For he says, pray this day our daily bread. Not give me this day my daily bread. Even if I'm a single individual without a family, living by myself, I may not pray, give me mine. It's actually quite remarkable, isn't it? That even with regard to this, with regard to what goes on my body and goes in my mouth and has to do with my life, a child of God is called to live covenantally with a view by faith in his soul of those beyond himself, with his family, with his mother and father, with his brothers and sisters, with the church in mind. There's no place, in other words, for selfishness in the kingdom of heaven, not even with regard to the earthly necessities of our life. In fact, I believe this is one way that God teaches us in families how to get along and how to live in the covenant community. One of the things that we ought to be teaching our children, even as we provide daily bread and our instruments that the Lord uses to provide for them, that we stress this and emphasize this with our children, that they don't develop a selfishness even in the pecking order of the family or the regard to themselves. Be teaching them always the great benefit of giving and of sharing, and ought to jump on selfishness and self-centeredness in the home, even with regard to gifts and food and drink and clothing. They need to be taught these things. If you doubt me on that, how many times is it in your own family where your own children praying with you, pray, give us this day, O Lord, our daily bread, and you say amen, and you open the lid on the pot, And the children look inside and say, ooh, we're having that again? Or I don't like that. Shows what we're up against, beloved people of God. So how does God answer this prayer? And again, it might surprise us that the answer of God to our prayer really has nothing to do with bread itself. Certainly, and it may not be overlooked, that God has responded to our prayers and does respond to our prayers by providing us daily bread. That may never be overlooked. Need to make a point of that. The devil would love nothing better than to have you question and impugn the motives of God and His ability to care for us by pointing out all kinds of people living on daily bread. So that we get the woe me's. Woe is me. I don't have as much as my neighbor in the church. I don't have as much money. My house isn't as big. My clothing isn't as nice. My car hardly runs. Easy to get that way. But I want you to dwell on this. How many people has God chosen to save? God has promised to provide their daily bread. An innumerable throng, as far as we can count. Has God ever failed to provide daily bread to any of them? Ever. Once. As any child of God, has God failed to provide for their daily needs as long as it's His will that they live on this earth? Let's suppose that there is an individual you can point to, a child of God who starved to death. Let's just suppose that. Did God provide or not provide? Where did they go at the moment of death? Where did they go? Immediately to God. Immediately. There to enjoy far greater riches and better food and drink than anything that this world has to provide. And we forget these things. We tend to ignore them. We tend to forget about them. And we may never forget that God answers this prayer. He answers it every day. He answers it every day for everyone in this congregation, for you and for me, day after day after day after day. So God answers our prayer this way, but the emphasis of the catechism is a little bit different. And what's interesting is it has to do with God providing spiritual bread. We may think of it that way. God answers the prayer regarding physical bread by providing a certain spiritual bread, food for our faith, working faith, strengthening faith, teaching faith, a number of things. That's one way to look at how the Heidelberg Catechism explains this Lord's Day. What's the fourth petition? Notice this very carefully. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. So that's one way God answers. God will provide those things. But notice the catechism, that we, in other words, that God provides them, that we may acknowledge things and understand things. I was talking there about the knowledge and understanding of faith. The very first thing that God answers our prayer is by working faith to acknowledge that God is the fountain of all good. That recognizing that God is the source of all things. That's what it says, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the fountain, the only fountain of all good. God works faith that understands and believes God is sovereign in all these matters. With regard to the distribution of bread and my earthly necessities, we are, after all, addressing our Father who art in heaven, and notice the petition is give. Give us this day our daily bread. There, faith is brought to the understanding that we are entirely dependent on God and His sovereign distribution of all these things with regard to bread. And faith understands that. Faith has to know that. Faith has to be taught these things. And faith has to believe that. God works faith such that when we understand this, there's a radical difference between how a Christian uses this earth and an unbeliever. a Christian's attitude toward bread and an unbeliever's. And what a Christian understands is, in the first place, I have no right to even a scrap of bread. Understand that's a fundamental difference between you and the ungodly world. The fundamental reason that the ungodly think they have a right to everything and look to such things as the state to provide and then provide without their care and industry to just give it is because they deny and reject the fact that all these things are in the hand of God and that they have no right to anything. No human being has a right to draw one breath of air or to have God provide the necessary energy to sustain that life in his body. We've lost that right. Mankind forfeited that right. God pronounced the sentence of death upon all men. We have to understand that even with regard to ourselves. There is no natural earthly right for you to have anything in your cupboard, anything in your closet, anything in your garage, anything with regard to your earthly physical life. And that's why ultimately there may be no dissatisfaction with anything that we do have or don't have, with the quality or the quantity of the bread that we receive. It makes a difference with how a child of God uses his daily bread. The ungodly use daily bread with one purpose, and that is to serve themselves. That's unbelief. Child of God says, God gave me daily bread that I might serve him and him alone and not myself, and use this daily bread not to pursue more daily bread so that it's soon weekly bread and yearly bread and then bread for retirement, fine-looking bread, better than everybody else's bread, designer bread, but that I use the bread that God gave me today to serve him, to glorify him, and to honor him who gave it. God works faith that acknowledges that neither our care nor our industry nor even God's gifts can profit us without his blessing, an amazing phrase that's found here in the Catechism. It's a prayer then in which we understand that we receive daily bread by the diligent use of means, because God is a God of means. It's true in both realms in which God rules. In salvation, God uses means like preachers and preaching and sacraments to bring faith, to work faith, to strengthen faith. So also in the realm of earthly bread, it's not at odds with God's sovereignty. That's why, though God sometimes works outside those normal means to remind us of these things, why in the past God has worked miracles always to show he can do whatever he wants, when he wants, how he wants, using whatever means he wants. But think of all the means that God uses in this creation, in this world, simply to put a piece of bread on your... We don't understand that. We forget about it. Bread comes from the grocery store, right? We've reduced life down to that simplicity. Go out, earn a buck, take your buck, buy a piece of bread. It's not how it really works. God is busy using everything in this creation, including ungodly, wicked farmers and men, transportation systems, government, all these things to provide that piece of bread, including work and labor, economy. And a Christian understands these things, doesn't simply dismiss them, say they're unnecessary. That would be Anabaptistic. Even the issue of world flight pertains to this matter of earthly daily bread. God, who is a God of means and is pleased to use them, then it's a prayer that we actually do so. Child of God doesn't take the position, well, since God has ordained these things and God will provide me my daily bread, there's no need for me to work for it. No need for me to get a job to educate myself. Exactly the opposite. Child of God with faith says, if that's the way God works, that's what God calls me to do, that will I do. Don't minimize those. Don't cast them away. God works faith that withdraws trust from all other creatures and places it alone in Him. That too is God's answer to this prayer, that everything is subservient to God, and that even God's answering to this prayer may not be used to serve myself. Recognize the danger that I turn these things to an idol. You see the danger always. You see how intertwined the physical and the spiritual is. A child of God, when he makes the request for earthly daily necessities, isn't simply for God, asking God to provide them. But he's asking God for the right attitude, the right understanding. Everything turns back to God in one way or another, doesn't it? That's why this is a prayer ultimately for God's blessing. It's a striking petition here. We're asking that we may acknowledge God to be the only fountain of all good, the only fountain of all good, to work in us faith that we understand that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone at thee. But notice in the middle of all that is an understanding that nothing with regard to earthly physical goods can profit us without God's blessing. Here the Heidelberg Catechism denies the understanding of much of the church world that gifts of God, gifts of God's providence, are the same as His blessing. In this Lord's Day, the Catechism makes as clear as it can possibly be made, there is a difference between the bread God gives me and all the means God gives by which that bread comes, including the rain and sunshine that causes the wheat to grow from which the bread is ground and made. There's a great difference between all of that and God's blessing. There's a difference between God giving something and God giving something with His blessing. There's a difference between the gift and even receiving a gift undeserved and God giving that gift with an attitude of favor, of grace, and blessing upon an individual. You have to understand that. We deny the doctrine of common grace that teaches that. That's what common grace teaches. There's no difference between God's blessing and rain and sunshine. They're all essentially the same thing. We deny that, but how easily do we forget it when we even talk about our life? How was your year this year? I was richly blessed. What we mean is made a lot of profit. Avoid that at all costs if you can. Because if we confuse these two, we're undone. That's the whole point of Psalm 73. You want to know how easy it is to have happen? There's Asaph, a man of strong faith, strong conviction. And he said his feet almost slipped. He almost caused great offense in the church. All because he confused those two things, so that when he looked out and he saw the ungodly with much more property and apparently living a life of far greater ease and trouble, and compared it to his own life where he seemed to be chastened by God. God, after all, does do that. He doesn't want us to live in idolatry. So when we live in idolatry, he corrects us, comes with some pain and sorrow. And when we compare those two, and if we confuse God's gifts and as God's blessing, we look and we say, the ungodly are blessed, but not us. We're cursed. And then what happens? Faith is made shipwreck. Faith is in despair. So even when we make this prayer, God must give us faith to understand that great distinction. Now, what's the explanation for that distinction? And the answer is, because Jesus Christ makes a difference. Underlying all this is the fact that with God's people, Jesus Christ has come, has paid the price for their sins, has taken upon Himself the curse due unto them, so that God may bless us. And that blessing then isn't food and drink as such, but that we may receive food and drink with the favor of God, and may even have an understanding with when He withholds it. When God makes it very, very small, God still loves us, cares for us, and is blessing us, and is teaching us. Remember, when we make this prayer, we pray to our Father who art in heaven. That's what the Scriptures always bring us to. Faith says, I'm praying to my Father in heaven. And He's feeding me. He's clothing me. He's putting food on my table. He's caring for me. And whether I have a lot or a little, He loves me. And He's caring for me. And even if my earthly physical life is suffering, even if my earthly physical life is taken from me, perhaps even in persecution, God has provided for my life. God has given me everything that I need. God has blessed me. And that's how we're to pray, even with regard to our daily bread. And so pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, O Lord our God, we thank Thee for the instruction from Thy word, even with regard to daily bread. So easily do we sin with regard to even the prayer for food and drink. We thank Thee for teaching us the truth, for encouraging us. We pray, forgive our sinfulness with regard to earthly physical things, and lead us rightly by faith to put our trust in Thee, to withdraw it from all other creatures, to see Thee as the fountain of all good and the God who blesses us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.